Witness 9. To speak what I do know. Almighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well. Anthony, Act 3, Scene 1. Iron Horse said he was leaving. He said he was going back to J.S. Clark to play football. We were having a big fight. Everybody was yelling at each other, but mostly at Iron Horse. Everybody except Earl. Soothsayer. Earl just watched us and seemed to move away a little. He said he felt crowded. He said he would do his talking to Iron Horse another day, or at least another time today. I guess it was just too much noise and bumping going on for Earl, for Soothsayer. A week after the storm, we were back in the Edward Vincent's class, still working through Julius Caesar. Right now, Sister was reading a conversation between Portia and Soothsayer. Portia, come hither, fellow. Which way hast thou been? Soothsayer, at mine own house, good lady? Portia, what is the o'clock? Soothsayer, about the 9th hour, lady. Portia, is Caesar yet gone to the capital? Soothsayer, madam, not yet. I go to take my stand, to see him pass on to the capital. Portia, thou hast some suit to Caesar, hast thou not? Soothsayer, that I have, lady. If it will please Caesar to be so good to Caesar as to hear me, I shall beseech him to befriend himself. Portia, why? Knowest thou any harms intended towards him? Soothsayer, none that I know will be, much that I fear may chance. Good morrow to you. Here the street is narrow. The throng that follows Caesar at the heels of senators, of praetors, common suitors, will crowd a feeble man almost to death. I'll get me to a place more void, and there speak to great Caesar as he comes along. Portia, I must go in. Ah, me, how weak a thing the heart of a woman is. O Brutus, the heavens speed thee in thine enterprise. Sure, the boy heard me. Brutus had a suit that Caesar will not grant. Oh, I grow faint. Run, Lucius, and commend me to my lord. Say I am merry. Come to me again, and bring my word what he doth say to thee. Not everybody was back in school. Hurricane Betsy had done big damage. Some people still didn't have lights, and some people lived on roads you couldn't put a car on or a bus. Cetius, who had the part of Portia, wasn't at school today, so the Edward Vincent was going to read her part. When Sister told us this, I got excited. We'd all been hearing her read Shakespeare straight, and we knew she knew how to translate. But we hadn't seen her get into a part. We hadn't seen her try to act a part. I wondered what that would be like. She was standing in front of the class with Earl. Her habit was the same as all the nuns wore, a kind of body gown and robe at the same time. At her waist, the Edward Benson had small ropes wrapped around for a belt. Down her left side, attached to the rope, was a long set of rosary beads. On her head, she had that covering that they all wore. The part that sat right on her head was like a box, and it was white. On top of the box part was a black scarf that was long all the way down to her shoulders and part down her back. The Edward Vincent was a dark-skinned woman, with teeth so white they gleamed through the raven-dark outline of her face when she smiled. I couldn't tell much about her eyes. She wore glasses that covered even the shape of her eyes, because the glasses had pointed ends at the top. Just as she shushed the room so she and Earl could start, the Edward Vincent put her right hand on her right hip. Then she slipped her hip and her whole lower body to the left, cocked her head to the right, and she spoke like a southern belle. Come here, guy. Where have you been? Earl Soothsayer stood there with his mouth open, just looking at the Edward Vincent. The rest of us were squirming, squealing, with our hands over our mouths. With no hesitation, Sister gave us the eye to quiet us. She turned back to Earl and said, "Okay now, Earl. Let's relax and get going. Let's have a little fun." Then she started again. The same way, hand on hip, head tilted, with a silky, sweet voice none of us had ever heard from the Edward Benson. "Come here, guy. Where have you been?" Earl paused and then said, "At home, ma'am." "What time is it, darling?" "I'd say about 3 o'clock, sugar." "Has Caesar gone to the Capitol yet?"
No, ma'am, not yet.
"But I'm on my way to see him get up there."
"There's something you want to say to Caesar, isn't there?"
"That's right, ma'am. If Caesar's mood is good enough for him to listen, I want to tell him to protect himself."
"Why? Do you think that some are planning to hurt Caesar?"
"Nothing that I know has to happen, but a lot that I'm afraid may happen." Earl paused, looked around, and then spoke again. "Well, good day to you. Right now, right here, the street is narrow. There's a crowd right on Caesar's heels. Everybody's coming, and that crowd will crush a small man to death. So I'm going to move to a place with more space, so when he gets there, I'll say what I have to say to Caesar."
"Well, I've got to go inside myself."
As soothsayer Earl walked to the back of the classroom, Sister Edward Vincent took a deep breath, a sigh, touched her own face, fanned herself, and then spoke.
"Oh, my. How weak is a woman's heart. Oh, Brutus, I hope the heavens speed you on the way to what you have to do." "Yes, you heard me, boy. Brutus has a claim that Caesar will not listen to."
She was fanning herself again.
"Oh, my. I feel so weak. Right now, run. Run, Lucius. And tell Brutus how I wish him the best. Tell him I am happy. Then come back and tell me what he had to say about that."
I couldn't believe it. None of us could believe that this was Sister Edward Vincent up there, the Edward Vincent. Her silky voice was a shock, but the way she sashayed around was, well, it was... She had to shush us. We applauded and hooted. The hoots were too much. Sister Joanne must have been walking the hallway because she came to the door and looked in to see what was going on. That's when the Edward Vincent really shushed us, trying to hide the smile on her face. "Your papa is real sick, Robert, and he asked for you." Mama was explaining to me why she had come to get me out of school early. This had never happened before. I guess that's why Mama started explaining before I had a chance to ask what was going on. "I'm not sure how much longer he has, Cher." I could hear the sadness in Mama's voice. Her daddy, Papa Raphael, was dying. He had gotten sick so quick, right after Hurricane Betsy. Daddy hadn't, so I hadn't told Mom about me being out in the storm with my friends. There was no way for me to tell her that I thought Papa Raphael had been out in the storm, too. The whole thing was too hard to explain anyway. I hadn't even told Daddy where I had been that night. No way I could tell Mama now that I had been out there and that I saw Papa Raphael out there. That was just too much to tell. When I walked into his bedroom, I looked at his long body covering the full length of the bed and his feet pushing out over the end of the bed. His face was wet with sweat and his brown skin shiny because of it. His eyes were closed, so I was surprised when his right arm lifted up and with his right hand he called me close. His voice was a whisper.
"Y'all done well in the storm, Robert. Everything seems to be back in place. I guess that's why I'm so sick so sudden," he said.
"I guess we did enough, Papa Raphael. But you know, you were out there with us, wasn't that you?" Papa coughed roughly.
"Listen to me, Robert. Y'all are not out of danger yet.
The work y'all did together has made your individual hearts weaker. So y'all must stay together until you are yourselves again. Don't stray from each other too quick. Give it time. Stay together? What are you talking about, Papa? Y'all got traveling spirits. But right now y'all need to stay put and watch over each other. The way y'all did, the work y'all did, makes it easy for y'all to be heard inside yourselves. Nobody remembers what y'all remember or knows what y'all did. But y'all want everybody to know, but you can't tell it. That makes your soul weak. That's the price. So lean on each other. It's the only way. What about Dice? We don't see him very often because he's at Clark. Papa was breathing slowly and shallow when he spoke, just above a whisper. Don't worry about Dice. He's got somebody watching over him like you do. The rest don't. So the rest have got to stay together for a while till the weakness is gone from your souls. Papa stopped talking. His breathing was strained, and he was really sweating. I got up and gave him some water. I helped him sit up to drink, and the sheet slipped off of his chest. He was mostly bone now, and I could see this was my last chance to talk to him. I asked what I had to ask. Papa, what about my dream about my friends? I saw their futures. The people things in the storm said what I saw was my fault for making the seven powerful. What have I done? His breathing was really just wheezing now. He spoke slow, so slow. Robert, what you dreamed was one possible future. What the things in the storm told you, the binders, that was a trick. Even they can't see or make the future. That's why they lost the battle. They was trying to trick you, the way they were trying to trick time, to put more hate in the world. He stopped talking again. I picked up the damp face towel and wiped his face and neck. Don't be tricked, he said, almost a gasp. You can't no more influence other people's future than anybody else can. Everybody makes their own choices that directs their own future. What the future brings to your friends will not be your doing. Don't be fooled about that, Robert. Papa was wheezing real bad now. I went in the kitchen to get Mama. She went in with Papa and closed the door. I went back to the kitchen, put my head on the table, and fell asleep. When Mama came out later, she woke me. Mama said he was gone. His funeral was the next week on September 29th. Mama knew that for some reason, in his last days, Papa Raphael had watched over me and my friends. That's why she talked her brothers and sisters into letting me and Iron Horse be pallbearers. All of Colored Opelousas was there. That was a surprise because so many had been afraid of him. More surprising were the white faces. Mama said that they were people who Papa Raphael had healed. People who had come to him over the walls to heal a wife or a son or somebody. That day, colored and white came to show respect for Raphael, La Trattura, the healer. We always seemed to drift to each other. It was strange and awkward to be the only ones who knew about the switch in time and the switch back, walls and then no walls. We had that in common and that seemed important. But right after the funeral was when Iron Horse told us he was going back to J.S. Clark to play football. What a time to tell us that, right after the funeral. We had all walked the long block together from the cemetery to Holy Ghost Church and school. We made our way to the walkway where the school connected to the back of the church where we came to talk sometimes. It echoed in there if you got loud, and we were loud at first when Iron Horse told us. We've seen so much together, Jimmy. We should all stick together. I need to play football, Dolores. You can't go. You shouldn't go, Dolores said. What are you talking about, shouldn't? You know we were warned, Jimmy. Mr. Raphael told Robert to tell us we need to stay with each other after what we've been through together. He said our strength was was in our sticking together. All that's over anyway. We did our part. We fought. Now I want to play football. And sticking together since when? I've been by myself most of my life. Even this thing we did mostly alone. We were never alone. Even when we thought we were not alone. Earl Soothsayer was talking. Y'all still don't understand. Mr. Raphael knew what was happening to us before we did. Remember, he called us. He talked to us. He guided us. He was our angel. Angel? Don't get mysterious on us, Earl, Kool-Aid said. Y'all really don't get it. He was our angel. Look up what the name Raphael means. It's the name of one of the archangels, and it means God's remedy or God's healing. Remember what that man in the light called himself? He said, I am God's remedy. We stood there looking at him, wondering. None of us had known this, and we weren't so sure we wanted to believe Earl. But it was just the kind of thing Earl, Soothsayer, would know. Believe what you want, Earl said. But we were never alone. The Archangel Raphael watches over travelers, people like us. Even when we thought we were alone, we were never alone. I know that for true. That's why we should try to stay together. We should listen to Mr. Raphael. We were all quiet for a while. Football is still what I want to do, Ironheart said. It's still what I can do, and I don't know what else to do with myself.
You could stay here with us, Jimmy.
We see more in you than football, Dolores said. I know you do, Dolores. But nobody else does, and I'm not sure I do.
But Jimmy!
Stop it, Dolores! Ironheart shouted at her, which surprised and scared the rest of us.
Jimmy! Don't you see? I'm afraid for you. I'm afraid for you, for me, for all of us.
I'm going back. He turned away from us. We watched him walk to the end of the schoolyard, off the school property, out onto Main Street. Iron Horse was gone. We stayed with Dolores because she didn't seem to be doing too well. We walked her to the front of the church and found Joyce, her cousin. Dolores was going to ride home with her. Ghosts touched me, Kool-Aid, and Earl on our arms, and with his eyes directed us to walk over to a spot on the right side of the church where the elementary school kids played. He surprised us with an idea for the Edward Vincent's class. That was a week ago. I was still trying to figure it all out in my head. I had told everybody, the seven, what Papa Raphael said about us staying together for a while. I told them that he said we would need to lean on each other for a while because we shared the revelation of the storm. Leaning on each other, I told them. He said that being together would help us to work through the storms that were going on inside us and stop us from traveling alone with our suffering. Now, it didn't look like we would do that with Ironheart gone and some of the others acting funny too. When we could find him, Ghost acted like he didn't want to be with us very much. Maybe it was all the attention he was getting in practice for basketball season. And Kool-Aid even said it wasn't cool to keep hanging out with us since everybody thought we were a strange group anyway because they couldn't see what we had in common. It just didn't seem we were going to hold on to each other like we should have, like we were told to do, like we did for a little while. As we spent less and less time together, especially after Iron Horse left, our memory of the time of the walls began to fade. Even our memory of the battle in the storm began to fade. Earl said it. We were already starting to forget. Now that the circle is broken, we are going to forget. It's already starting. We are weaker now. Those of us who were left knew that we were hearing the truth. That's when Dolores said, Robert, Robert, you have to write a record, a testimony of what happened, what we saw, and what we went through. You have to, Robert. You have to. We had passed the time of betrayal. Last week, David had been Mark Anthony and had done that long speech at Caesar's funeral. Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. All of us had been impressed that David did the speech from memory. And he did it first the way it was written, and then he did his own translation. We like both, I think, but we really like the translation of the last few lines. As written, those lines were, "But here I am to speak what I do know. You all did love him once, not without cause. What cause would hold you then to mourn for him? O judgment, thou art fled to brutish beast, and men have lost their reason. Bear with me. My heart is in the coffin there with Caesar, and I must pause till it come back to me." Then David did the whole thing again in his own translation. "I'm up here to talk about what I know. All of you respected him, and you had good reason to. So, what's stopping you from showing that you are sorry that he is away from us? Has all good judgment gone to the dogs and his classmates gone crazy? Oh, look, don't mind me. All my emotions are in the coffin with him, and I need to stand here and wait for them to come back into me." "Go ahead, Davi," Babut yelled from the back of the class. Davi grinned and then bowed to the applause. The Edwin Vincent stood up. She waited for Davi to sit, and then she spoke. "I am so very proud of all the good hard work you all have done on Shakespeare's play Julius Caesar. I have all my 10th grade classes read the play, but this is the first class to try to translate all the language. I think it was fun, and that it taught us a great deal about language." Then, lifting her arms over her head, she applauded us. A few of our classmates stood up and bowed while she was applauding. Davi was the first. "Well, we've done as much Julius Caesar as we can. It's time to move on," Sister said. From the back of the room, Kool-Aid called out, "Can we do one more scene today?" "Well, Johnny, I'm not sure we have time." I guess she saw all our heads nodding yes, so she gave in. "Okay, but it has to be short. It's almost our time to be in the lunch line, so which scene?" Ghost was in the front of the class sudden. His quick appearance at her side had surprised the other Vincent so much she jumped. We were all shocked that Ghost wanted to do a scene. Ghost had started talking about doing this the day Iron Horse left, and we had been talking about it since. He pointed to me, and I went up to the front of the class. We told Sister what we wanted to do. She hesitated, and then she walked to her big living room chair in the corner and sat down. I called up the others. "Calpurnia, Dolores, Casca, Kool-Aid, Soothsayer, Earl, Ghost of Caesar," I called out. We all knew Iron Horse wasn't in class or school here at Holy Ghost anymore, but the others opened the space for his presence. Ghost told the others to hold hands and to try to surround the two of us. Without that space for Iron Horse, they couldn't make a really round circle, especially with Dolores' arms being so much shorter than Earl's and Kool-Aid's. Whatever kind of figure it was that they did make, we all knew it was incomplete without Iron Horse. Me and Ghost stood in the middle of what they formed, and looking down at our translations began. Cassius, Ghost. "It's your world now, Brutus. All the spirits are on your side, so we can go on as friends to a ripe old age for true. But nothing lasts forever in a man's business. So let's talk about what we'll do if things go wrong. If we lose, is this going to be the last time we ever talk? If we lose, what are you going to do?"
Brutus, Robert.
"Even if I still thought that way, the way I did when I blamed Cato for a death that he admitted to for some stupid reason. I just think that's a crazy way to go through life, thinking about what might go wrong in the next thing you do. I just try to be patient, to keep away those negative feelings that might try to control me." Cassius, Ghost. "So if we lose, you'll be all right going back to be paraded through Opelousas as a sign of the others winning."
Brutus, Robert.
"No way, Cassius. Don't think, my man, that I'd ever let myself be taken back tied up. I'm too proud for that. But today is the time to end all that started last month near the Ides of September. And whether you and I will see each other again, I don't know. So I say goodbye to you now and forever. Goodbye. If we do see each other again, for true we'll both be happy. But if this is it, well, then saying goodbye was right. Cassie's ghost. Goodbye then, Brutus. If we see each other later, we'll smile for true. But if we don't, then it is a good goodbye. Brutus Robert. So lead the way. Every day it would be nice to know in the morning how things will turn out that day. Oh, well, it seems nice enough to know that the day will end. That's when we will know what happened. Come on. Let's go. We looked at each other then. Brutus, Calpurnia, Cascia, Casca, Cassius and Soothsayer, Robert, Dolores, Cooley, Ghost, and Earl. My Caesar is now himself a ghost, Dolores whispered. Ghost and I turned to the others, and we all came together, pulled each other together, and with our arms wrapped round each other's bodies, we held on until the Edward Vincent said to the whole class, "Come on, let's go."